Hello, and welcome to the Erotic Renaissance Podcast, where we talk about sex, love, relationships, spirituality, and all things passionate. I'm your host, Erin P., and we're going to jump right into it. So, this episode is really special to me because I'm an astrologer, and I have been really trying to perfect my craft and figure out what inspires me. And very much just like tarot reading, what inspires me is always going to be relationships, love, because I find it to be one of the most important topics that doesn't get as much attention, at least in a healthy way. So this episode is going to be all about discovering the relationship profile or some things that you may need based off of your natal chart. So we're going to be doing a technique, which basically we're going to look at your seventh house. And we're going to look at the ruler of your seventh house to find out what kind of traits you would need in a relationship in order to feel satisfied. So for you, what I'm going to need you to do is, if you know your seventh house already, this will be perfect, so easy. You can jump right in. I'm going to get into the rulership so you don't have to know what they are prior to me talking about them. But if you don't, you want to go to astro.com. You want to pull up your chart. You're going to pick extended chart selection, put in your information, go to the bottom and select whole sign houses for your house. And then you're going to look at your seventh house. So the seventh house rules your intimate relationships. Back in the day, it really could be your enemies too, like your known enemies. But like, unless you are a country or a ninja, you probably don't have any like known enemies. So in this particular case, and also I think that's funny because often our intimate relationships can show up kind of like an enemy a lot of the time. Like the people that we are in a relationship with, they have these opposite qualities that we just like can't stand, but also we love them. So I also just think that's fitting. So we're going to start with the sun. So if you have the sun in your seventh house, or the sun is the ruler of your seventh house, it means that you are an Aquarius rising and you have Leo in your seventh house. One of the things that is so important for you as an Aquarius rising is going to be that you need to be seen in your relationships. Aquarius is so humanitarian that they can often like almost forget about themselves in a bit. Like they could be fighting for a cause so much that they forget about themselves a little bit. But if your seventh house is ruled by the sun, you have a deep need to be seen. So you need to be in a relationship with someone who really sees you for who you are and accepts you for who you are and doesn't necessarily ask you to become someone else. This is super important to you. That's the biggest thing that I can say about if you have the sun as your ruler in the seventh house. This also could mean that if your sun placement often can be like your life purpose or your egoic self. So if it's ruled by the sun, that also means that your relationship is directly tied in with your life purpose, especially if you're a day chart. Like if you were born in the daytime, your relationships are tying right into your life purpose. So that means that you might find the person that you're looking for, you might find your soulmate while doing your life purpose. Like oftentimes with the seventh house, I like to look at it as if we are acting within that planetary archetype, that it can kind of allow us to bring forth more of a positive manifestation of that particular planet. So with this, with the sun, it's like, are you being seen in your work? Is the things that you care about, are you giving yourself that notoriety in your life? Because if you're not, you probably may not be meeting people who you're actually attracted to or actually would be long-term partnership for you, because you're not really living in that space. And that's something that you really need, is to be seen, just to be seen without any kind of having to give anything else back. Like, I see you for who you are. I accept you for who you are. I see your creative genius. And that's it. It's very much what Leo needs, very much what Leo wants. So moving on from that, if you are a Capricorn rising, that means your seventh house is going to be Cancer. And the biggest thing that Cancer needs, or because it's ruled by the moon, is emotional security. Like, emotional security, Cancer doesn't open up unless it feels safe to do so. And a lot of people are like, Cancers are just so sweet and nice, and they just want to help everyone. And it's like, yes, that is true when you get to know Cancer. Because if you don't get to know Cancer, then you get the hard shell of Cancer with the little claws. And like, those little claws can give you a beautiful, lovely hug and love you, or they can pinch you and it hurts. So if your seventh house is ruled by the moon, you need emotional security. You need someone who really does consider your emotion, because Capricorn often does not consider their emotions. Capricorn's so focused in on everything else and building their mini empire, and like approaching their life from a place of just wanting to work through their problems rather than feel through them. The moon really, like, needing that lunar energy is like that self-care energy, that chill energy, that, you know, emotional security. Like, it's okay for you to relax with your partner. Like, that, if you're Capricorn rising, you need to be able to relax with your partner. That's a big thing. You need to be able to go, okay, now that I'm done with all the real life working stuff, now I can just sit down and relax. So if we're going to go into Mercury, and there's two sides of Mercury. Obviously, there's the Virgo side. If you're Pisces rising, you're going to have Virgo in your seventh house, like I do. And if you are Gemini rising, you have Sagittarius. We're talking about Mercury. So if you are a Sagittarius rising, you're going to have Gemini as your seventh house. So let's talk about Gemini first. If your seventh house in general is ruled by Mercury, you need to be able to communicate how you're feeling, and you're going to need that communication, that constant state of you kind of know where you're at and where you stand. If it's on the Gemini side, you're going to need communication, banter. You know, you're going to need to, if you're a Sagittarius rising and your relationships, you really need to feel like you are being, that you can communicate with this other person, and that there's banter, and that there's new ideas and new mental stimulus with the relationship. So this is the kind of relationship that you need to be playing games. You need to be doing something, because if you're not doing something, it's like not as fun, not good. You're going to get very bored. And Gemini is perfect for Sagittarius in that way, because it's very hard to get bored with Gemini, because it's just like, they can keep up, and you need someone that can keep up. Now, if you are a Pisces rising and you have Virgo in the seventh house, this is a little bit different, because Virgo, even though it's ruled by Mercury, just like Gemini is an earth sign. So Virgo really wants to take what is, you know, just pure fantasy and love and mist and, you know, concept, and distill it down into something that's useful. So for you as a Pisces rising, if you're a Pisces rising, what you need in your relationship is you need someone who is going to help you take all of that energy that you have, because Pisces tend to have a lot of all that emotional energy, and help you distill it down to what you really need. That's something you're going to need in a relationship. You also need a ton of communication, because again, it's Mercury. You and your person will be someone who, it's like, it's always kind of interesting too, because with this opposites, you have the Jupiter rule sign and needs to be with the Mercury ruled sign, right? Like that's for both, both Sagittarius rising and Gemini rising. The Jupiter ruled sign needs to be with the Mercury sign, right? Because Jupiter wants to give so much and wants to do so much that they need Mercury to kind of come in there and be like, okay, you can't necessarily do it all. Let's bring words and communication to kind of distill and bring idea and concept to what is happening so that we can be on the same page. Like that's the gift that Mercury kind of offers in this particular dynamic, whether you are a Gemini or whether you are Sag rising or Pisces rising. So if Mercury is the ruler of your seventh house, communication, being able to talk to your partner on a semi-regular basis is probably something that you're really going to need. Otherwise, you probably will forget about them, literally. If you're not talking to them every day, you'll be like, do I have a partner? Like, you know, because I feel like Pisces and Sagittarius rising, both of you could be very like in your head And doing, you know, your adventure or doing your whatever fantasy is happening here, that you are not necessarily in touch with people. So you need someone who can have that verbal banter with you. So next we're going to go over Venus. So Venus rule signs are Taurus and Libra. So if you are in Aries rising in the seventh house, you're going to have Libra. And what Aries needs in the relationship is somebody who can help them understand that other people are important, first of all. Aries sometimes can be such a trailblazing sign that you guys will like go out in the cause of something else and completely forget about other people or how you're coming off, right? Libra has this very beautiful social awareness and knows how to bring things into harmony. Whereas the other side is like Aries is like, I'm not interested necessarily in bringing things into harmony. I'm interested in things getting done. I'm interested in getting what I need. I'm interested in these things. So it kind of tends to have that thing going on there. So as a Venus ruled sign, the reason why Mars does really, really well with Venus, I think, in this particular case is, I mean, like you can also look at their archetypes, right? If you study astrology, I think that it's a great idea to look up the planetary archetypes that go with them. So with Mars, you literally have Mars, the god Aries, like, and then for Venus, you have Aphrodite. These two have a lot of stories about getting in a relationship together because they're just so passionate, and their passions, their ability to be able to make room for these real emotions is really beautiful. So every time you see these pairing, it's always like really great and lovely. And you see the same thing with Scorpio and Taurus, but it's a little bit of a different flavor. So if you're a Scorpio rising, you're going to have Taurus in the seventh house. Now, I think that this is a tremendous and amazing pair, because one thing that Scorpio needs is to feel safe. And in order to feel safe, you got to be reliable. If you're a Scorpio rising, your person needs to be reliable AF. Like, they need to call you back when you need to talk to them. They need to be there, and they need to prove over a long period of time that they are not going anywhere, because Scorpio is naturally very distrustful. So with the Libra side of it, with the Aries dynamic, you're giving this more social awareness, you know, because again, just like with Mars, it kind of wants to get into a fight. It kind of wants to do something. So Libra comes in and has this beautiful social awareness to be like, you can fight, but also don't burn all your friends. That would be bad, you know? And on the other hand, it's like Taurus and Scorpio have this dynamic where it's like Taurus is just always there. If they're committed to you, they're committed to you. And that works out really great. So if you're Scorpio rising, you need someone who's going to commit to you, like straight up. Like, you're not necessarily, unless you're in a phase where you're not wanting a relationship. If you want to get into a relationship, you need someone who's all in. You need someone who really, really wants to be there for you. And with Venus being the ruler of both of these signs, there's also a sense of Aries and Scorpio, because they're ruled by Mars, there is this sense of like, you need, these people tend to be not very needing of like the luxuries of life. You know, when I think about Aries and Scorpio, I think about two people who are kind of trailblazing, doing their thing, not caring about what other people think. Like, they don't care about necessarily the way they look. And then you have Libra and Taurus, that's just so much more aware of the textures and the luxuries of life and the pleasures of life, which just balances out that Martian energy so well. All right. So we're going to go ahead and move on to Mars. We're going to switch it up. So if you were a Libra rising, you need someone who actually is going to challenge you to have conflict. Libras tend to not like conflict, or they tend to do conflict in a way that is just they get pushed to their limit, that they could be like, there's like these two sides of Libra. You have Libra who's just passive, doesn't want to do anything, doesn't want to say anything, you know, is just is a people pleaser. And then you have the other side of Libra that's like, if things are not harmonious, like, there will be hell to pay. Like, there will be bad things happening. So Aries kind of teaches Libra how to fight correctly, or what to fight about. Like, you know, when Libra wants to run away, from the problem. Aries is there to be like, you can't run away from the problem. You need to talk about it. So if you're a Libra rising, you need someone who's going to encourage you to talk about the issues that you're having in a very open and honest way. And they're really like that Mars energy really challenges Libra to do that. Now, on the other side, if you are Taurus rising, Taurus sometimes can be very obsessed with stability to the point where if someone is presenting them with a problem that can't be worked through the way they normally work through, that they could definitely shut down. And also Taurus can be very obsessed with possessions and having things and to have, but very much having. And Scorpio is not necessarily always needing that. Like Scorpio, on the other hand, is very much about like not necessarily needing all the possessions. So I think that that can be a really good dichotomy. And again, you have this Mars and Venus pairing where like these two opposites go together so well, because Venus is letting Mars know, hey, you can have the finer sides of life. You can have the beauty in life. Look how sweet life can be. And then Mars energy is life is not sweet. Sometimes you gotta fuck a motherfucker up. No, like not literally. But sometimes you gotta do what you have to do. Sometimes it ain't sweet. Sometimes people are not gonna do what you need them to do, and it's going to make you upset. You know, like when you're that Mars and Venus pairing is always just really beautiful because they balance each other out. So if you are whether what side you are on it, you're going to need that out of your Martian partner, who's going to teach you how to fight better and how to get to what's really important in life, because that's a big thing with Martian energy. It's like, yes, like luxury is beautiful, but like we need to talk about what's important in life, like what needs to get done in life. That's a very Martian energy. So we're going to go ahead and go into Jupiter. If your seventh house is ruled by Jupiter, you need a relationship that's going to expand you. If you're Virgo rising, that's going to be emotional expansion. If you are a Gemini rising, this is going to be physical expansion. So to go out on literal adventures, to go out and learn about things that you never learned about before. If you're a Gemini rising, like with that Sag seventh house, like this is an energy that very much challenges you to hit your limits a little bit, to go out and see what the world has to offer. And you need a partner that's going to show you what the world has to offer. Very much like meeting a partner on like vacation, or meeting a partner when you're doing something out of the box type of thing. That's an energy that really comes out. And if you are a Virgo rising, a Pisces, with a Pisces seventh house, you're looking more for emotional expansion, spirituality. Like, how do you get out of your head and into your body? How do you get out of the work mode and get to a place where you're like, ah, this feels so good to just be, to just vibe, to just like see somebody else and just vibe with them. Like you're really looking for a partner that's more easygoing. And you know, less organized. Like if you're a very organized person, like you need that partner that's like, you know what, maybe we don't have to color coordinate everything today. Maybe we can just relax today, you know? So that's kind of that. So if you're Saturn is the ruler of your seventh house, which means you have a Capricorn or Aquarius, seventh house, boundaries are going to be a huge part of your relationships, as well as karmic intensity. So if you have a Capricorn or Aquarius seventh house, I'm not going to lie, your relationships might be a little bit like, ooh, they might be a little hard. Because if you have it in the seventh house, Saturn is the ruler of your seventh house, you kind of need to learn from doing and almost like making mistakes. And you learn by not having boundaries or having better boundaries. And another thing about having Saturn rule seventh house is the fact that it might take you a long time to meet somebody. And this means that you are a Leo rising or Cancer rising. Sometimes it can take a bit to find the person that you want to be with, or sometimes it could take some drama, some intensity, some, you know, some stuff that you may not want to happen in order to find the person that you want to be with. You might be in separation with your partner. You might be, you know, something could happen with your partner that might be, that could separate you, or you end up getting into an argument or something like that. Like, very much the energy of a situation that you have to kind of figure out, that could take a little bit of time. And it usually has to do with like boundaries. Leo is so generous and wants to give to everybody, even though they have a reputation for being very selfish. Leos are extremely generous, right? You get that Aquarius seventh house, because that's going to teach you, your partner is going to teach you that you don't need to give to everybody. Like, you don't need to be generous with everybody. And I find that a lot of Leo risings people are attracted to a lot of narcissists and people who are not good for them. And they have to kind of learn how to stand up for themselves and have those boundaries and be like, you know, this is not what I'm going to tolerate. And it's the same thing with Cancer risings, where you have, you know, Cancer risings like, oh my God, I want to be in a relationship with, you know, this person, and they're so nostalgic, they're so beautiful, but they just completely sometimes can forget about the boundaries because they're just so in love. So they need a partner that has good self, sense of self, and good boundaries, as well as a partner who is showing up as someone who's going to teach them how to have those boundaries, and also teach them about, you know, how to be a little bit more down to earth in general, especially if you're a Cancer rising. So this is just like a little bit of a taste of astrology. Little self plug here. I am an astrologer, and I would love to look over your natal chart and look over and come up with the perfect profile for the kind of relationship that you need. These natal chart readings, the love, sex, and relationship natal chart reading that I offer, doesn't not just offer, you know, it offers an overview of the kind of relationship that you need, an ancient technique called zodiacal releasing, to let you know what chapter of your life when it comes to relationships that you're in, and where you'll potentially be meeting a partner, and where there'll be busyness, where you'll be actually in a relationship and things of that sort. It'll also teach you about your fifth house and everything, which I'm going to do another episode on the fifth house, of course. But it'll also teach you about your fifth house, what you need sexually, what you need for like a date night, things that would be like absolutely perfect for you, because knowledge is power. And one of the things that I think really hurts you guys is the fact that, you know, a lot of people who do come to me for readings don't really know what they want when it comes to a relationship. And the natal chart is a powerful tool to find out exactly what you need, not necessarily the sign, because I think a lot of people get very obsessed with the idea of, you know, oh, if I'm a Virgo sun, I need a Pisces sun. And that's just not how astrology works. It's very energetic. You really also want to go with the rising sign and things of that sort. And the planets that are in your seventh house, the planets that are in your fifth house, there's just so much to it. So if you need help with that, schedule me, book me for a natal chart reading, and we can get into the deep, lovely amazingness that is your natal chart. I hope this helps, and I will see you guys later.